Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 10. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter. Now I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Scriptures, that He was buried, that He was raised on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, and that He appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace toward me was not in vain. On the contrary, I worked harder than any of them, though it was not I, but the grace of God that is with me. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Today's scripture is very familiar, since it's the basis of our creeds. Christ died for our sins. He was buried. On the third day, He was raised according to the Scriptures. It was familiar to the church and the Christians in Corinth too. And yet, Paul repeats himself about the very thing that the church is always repeating, these basic facts of Christianity. Christ was crucified for our sins and was buried. He is risen indeed. It's because this is the gospel. But familiarity breeds contempt, or so we say. This expression tries to get us off the hook for ingratitude and sloth. But I think it might just be a lie. Familiarity has no womb. It does not breed. It's our indifference, what the Scriptures call slowness of heart. That's what causes us to despise what is familiar, not with passionate, conscious hatred, but with the I couldn't care less attitude of boredom. This is my weakness, not God's weakness, which I try, of course, to pass off as a strength. You know, I'm just so steeped in this stuff, that's all, you know. Nevertheless, the apostle reminds you, dear Christians, dear brothers, of the gospel preached to you, in which you stand, by which you are being saved, if you hold it fast, unless, Lord have mercy, you believed in vain. What would it mean to believe in vain? It would mean to believe this gospel as only bare facts, but to no purpose or effect. And this is a serious charge that you and I must consider. I think Psalm 50 ought to have brought it to our minds. We must especially consider it together since we serve the greater church in areas of leadership or because of our gifts. Our Lord Jesus Christ has shown Himself trustworthy in everything. He's fulfilled the Scriptures. He's made good on every promise. He's overcome our sins, from which the words rescue and deliver and save are not too dramatic. His burial makes clear that our faith is as concrete as real flesh and blood and bone. It's not an ideology, certainly not from God's perspective. His skin is in the game. It was lying cold and dead on that slab. Do you not know that terrible finality of touching the cold skin of your friend's hand, or of your father's, or of your baby's? Well, do you not then grasp the first importance of the fact that He is risen from that dead? Our hope in Christ is not for this life only. If it were, then we would throw every effort and action into whatever is new and changing rather than to risk boredom. If it were true, we would have absolute despair to see 20 years of war after it bred contempt in us now prove us to be so contemptible. If our hope in Christ were for this life only, when push came to shove, we would take breaks from eating the bread and drinking the cup by which we proclaim His death until He comes. After all, it not only breeds contempt, I hear it breeds disease also. And who can deliver out of those hands? If our hope is in this life only, that pitiful and vain hope will infect all the things that we say and that we do. That's just how confessing always works. For good reason, and out of His grace, then, the Lord again reminds us of the gospel that we have received, brothers, so that we would stand in it, so that we would hold fast to the trustworthy word of our living and trustworthy Savior, and no longer believe it to no effect. Remember what is of first importance: that Christ has died for your sins, and that He is risen indeed. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Lord, have mercy that we would never deny Him ever again. Paul calls his work today tradition work. In our translation, it's delivering to us what he received as of first importance. He hands it over, that means. It's a word that at other times can mean to betray, to give up. It's a bad thing. This should remind us of the early church and all of the great controversies over those who denied Christ when push came to shove, or who gave up the treasures of the church out of fear. When the moment came, they believed in vain, and they confessed by their deeds that their hope was in this life only. Those who repented were forgiven. Instead, Paul's sort of handing on, though, is different. It's not afraid, first of all, to hold fast to the word. That's different than what Jesus said when he said, "Do not hide a lamp under a basket." He wanted his word to permeate everything. We are not at risk of being too familiar with our Lord's gospel, only perhaps of being too indifferent. But our work in the mission of the church, dear friends, whether that's in national or international, whether that's internal or external, whether that's preaching or supporting, it must imitate St. Paul in this focus and in his delivery. Christ crucified for our sins, that is, for their forgiveness. This must constantly be heard and believed, especially because we are faithless, even though He remains faithful. It must be believed even before we go to deliver it on to others. And Christ is risen from the dead so that we will rise also. He has given us a hope, dear friends, that is beyond this world's futility, which is everywhere. It's in full view. You know plenty of it in your work too. He who was cold lives. And that means nothing less than this. None of you can die. That is not a hyperbole. In fact, even if you do die, you will live. What is cold and horrible, he can warm up. He's promised that he will do it, and he is trustworthy. This is true, is it not? Then do not believe it in vain, to no purpose or no activity. Instead, when it is time to speak or to act, place the gospel into the hand and into the heart of those who are hearing you, those that you are serving, so that they may hold it fast, not let go of it, but they may stand in it and lead by fearless action. Not self-confidently, of course not, but as those who are confident, who expect the resurrection of the dead, and so act as if they had a focus and a hope that was beyond this life only. Alleluia. Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Alleluia. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Jacob Galgert, who serves the Lord in Togo. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.